Welcome to the Pint and Click podcast. I'm Dave. I'm here with Tony and Charlie and Joel, and we're here to talk about Canopy today. Canopy is a new library streaming service. It's online, and you can watch movies on it, kind of similar to Netflix, but kind of not. We're going to talk about the films that they have. It seems curated for this service. It seems carefully chosen. They seem like they're all strong contenders for something to watch. I find when I watch Netflix, I just browse for 20 minutes and don't like anything, and I just give up. But Canopy, like, I'm really inspired by the service and the things that they have. You should know it's for Des Plaines patrons. You sign in with your library card and your name and your password and all that thing. But you can watch it on various devices. You can watch it on a computer. You can watch it on your iPad. I've got it loaded on my phone right now, my Android phone. It works on iPhones as well. I saw the movie What We Do in the Shadows, and I think it's hilarious, and it's different. It's a pseudo-documentary, so it's a documentary style, but it's all fiction. It's all a work of fiction, of course, that follows several vampires and what they do in the shadows. Have you guys seen this movie?
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I think we all, yeah, we all have. So there's four vampires, and one of the tricks of being a vampire is you're kind of, when you're turned, I believe, you're turned at the age that you are, and you're kind of set in your ways in the time period you are and things like that. So some vampires were turned in like the Middle Ages and some several years ago, and what are the differences and how do they get along and how do these community of vampires exist in the modern day when they're stuck in their ways?
Yeah, what is the century? Is it mid-18th century dandy that ends up in as flatmate with, we'll just say, like, their chemistry is part of the joy of this movie. It's just the fact that they are from anachronistic time periods that are just hilariously at conflict with each other. It's wonderfully acted. Taika Waititi, as that character I just described, for example, his little nuances on camera are just hilarious. Jemaine Clement, standing opposite as one of the other lead roles, is a lot more forward and, I don't know, the classic vampire. He just seems a little more raw and unfiltered.
Right, absolutely. And, yeah. It's like taking two of the most famous vampires in literature, the Count Dracula and then Vlad the Impaler, and putting them into a situation of roommates.
Yeah.
And, you know, how would they interact, I think is what, and the Vlad the Impaler from the mid-15th century certainly has different morals and viewpoints, obviously, than the 18th century dandy. But there are some things that they agree on as well.
Yeah.
Like a dishwashing schedule and, you know, they have apartment meetings and stuff like that.
Yeah, they still have to live together. So it's very relatable in that way, even though it's vampires from 500 years ago as characters. They're very relatable because they have the trappings of a modern existence.
And they all kind of regard the Nosferatu-style character who's sleeping in a tomb in the basement. Peter, thank you. Which is a fantastic name for that Nosferatu character, you know, who has these teeth that kind of bulge out of his mouth and everything. They regard him as like a father figure, and that kind of unites them as well in a way that they respect him with this kind of reverence.
Respect him, but also like kind of have to deal with him. Like
with
he's not all there all the time, as you know, elderly fathers may be for some of us. And he, you know, on the one hand they respect him, on the one hand they treasure him, but on the other hand they kind of try to keep him on a short leash.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like they don't want him to get out and make a scene or anything like that. So, again, kind of a bit of the relatable in this absurd situation.
Yeah,
exactly. And they have to interact with others in the society and not draw attention to themselves. But they can't so much as go into a nightclub without being invited in.
Yes, and, right.
So they have to ask all these bouncers, can you invite us in, please? And I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just about any vampire joke you could think of is in this movie, and probably ones you haven't thought of, many ones you haven't thought of, like not seeing your reflection and things like that, you know.
Right.
Just simple.
Or how many times we look around and we, you know, technology is part of our day, but to an 18th century dandy, you're just blown away by what you can access through that. So
yeah.
It has that sort of New Zealand understated style of humor.
Yes.
Like Jermaine Clement is known from Flight of the Conchords and Taika Waititi also directed Hunt for the Wilder People, which is also available on Canopy and is also a very, very funny movie.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what else have you guys watched on Canopy? It's quite a selection.
Sure. There's a movie called Pushing Hands that I found probably because I started favoriting different like martial arts movies in here or saw me search for martial arts movies. The Chinese title is Tui Shou, and it's actually an Ang Lee film, or an Ang Lee film, one of his earliest, like 1991. This is the director of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and Life of Pi, so he's made these critically acclaimed films. This film is a very low-budget film that is about a Chinese-American whose father moves in with him and his wife and their kid, and the daughter-in-law and the father don't really get along, so it's like a roommate situation. It's related in that way. Fascinating movie, though. I was very, at first, there's a lot of slow sequences to begin the movie, but because I'm interested in like Tai Chi and martial arts and things like that, I stuck around, and I'm really happy I did, because there's some really fascinating nuances to this movie. Basically, the character side of the drama and the way that characters internally react or on screen react to each other's presence, just very presence on the screen and throughout the entire film, is really impressive. I mean, so an example of this is the first shots, or if not the first shot of the movie, is the father who's just practicing Tai Chi in the living room, right? And his daughter-in-law is working at a novel at a computer, and it's 1991, so she's clicking on the computer keys and everything and just like hands through her hair, like being frustrated at the fact that there's a man like that she can't communicate with in one room over. And it's just this great like demonstration of this conflict that is very internal. I mean, it's like, how else do you describe, like, he's doing this great thing, but it's like in a living room, which probably is a different setting than maybe he's used to or something like that, because he has to move the furniture around and everything. And she's just reacting in this way that's spinning herself out of control in a sense. And I just thought the movie was incredibly done. I would go into more detail, but I don't want to spoil anything.
That's all right.
Yeah.
So I'm scrolling through my phone right now, just looking at what's catching my eye and what I have seen or maybe have yet to see. Life Itself, the Ebert documentary, is on there.
Yeah, I have seen that, and it's very, very good. I'm a big fan of Roger Ebert's writing, and I think the movie shares the title with his memoir, which is also worth reading. But, you know, if there's one thing Roger Ebert has taught me, it's that film is a medium that is very, very good at communicating things that can't be communicated just on the page. So you could read Roger Ebert talk about his sometimes fractious relationship with Gene Siskel, or you could watch this movie and see outtakes from their show where there's kind of visible contempt and animosity in their body language and sometimes their actual language. You could read about the health problems that he endured at the end of his life, or you could actually see, like, there are some very difficult to watch, unflinching scenes of him in the hospital going through very painful rehab. It's a really well-made film, and I mean, I guess it would have to be if you're going to make a documentary about one of the great film critics. If it's going to be bad, he's going to haunt you forever. It's funny, it's tragic, it's well done, and I would definitely recommend that one.
Awesome. I have not seen it yet, I'm sorry to say.
Well, you can add it to your watch list.
I can add it to my... Exactly.
I've been adding things to my watch list throughout the last few weeks, and I probably shouldn't look at how long it's gotten, because then I'll be intimidated out of watching them anymore.
Right. Canopy does limit you to 10 movies per month, and the counter does reset at the beginning of every month. But I think the watch list is unlimited, so you can... Anytime you have even mild interest in something, you can just click add to watch list and
catch it next month.
Yep. There have been films that have been talked about on this podcast before that I've been meaning to grab a DVD of. I know Tony mentioned the I'm Chris Farley documentary in one of our first episodes, or the documentary Harmontown, or we also discussed the animated film It's Such a Beautiful Day, none of which I have seen, but every time we had talked about them on the podcast, I was like, oh, I'd really like to see that. Well, now they're on my watch list.
Yeah, there's just a couple of movies jumping out there that just anyone might be interested in. The Ken Burns documentary, The Vietnam War, is on there.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah, which is an enormous set of DVDs that you may not, if you want to come to the library and check out the DVDs, you're welcome to do so, but it's quite a commitment to watch that entire series. So maybe you want to space it out over a Canopy and watch it that way instead. Watch it on your devices or at your leisure and not try to mow through it in 14 days as our loan period allows. I happen to see, Joel, I'm going to surprise you on this one, I'm sorry to say. I did not see any Cheech and Chong in our library, and someone wanted some. And I'm saying, I'm sorry, we don't have any. I can put them on hold. But it turns out they're on Canopy. So I could have recommended Canopy to that patron. I'm sorry, patron, if you're out there listening right now. But if you want Cheech and Chong, you could have gone to Canopy and seen I See Up in Smoke, and I see something else. And
Still smoking.
Yeah.
There's some movies that I consider almost like canon of part of me growing up and my high school experience, like Donnie Darko and Boondock Saints, just because of Boondock Saints. Must have watched a lot of just really fascinating heist movies based off of my interest in that movie. There's this movie that I saw recently. I think I discovered it when it was on Netflix, but it's called Frank. It's one where the guy has a cartoon head.
Yeah.
And he just wears it around everywhere. And it's not like a fake cartoon head. It's not like only the audience can see it. It's like in the real world, if your coworker just had a cartoon head kind of over his head. And it's like, you know, he's the front man of the band. So it's like it creates an awesome, throws a wrench in the narrative of the classic, like, oh, we're a band, we're creating music, and there's inter-band drama, because maybe a new member joined or something. And I think it's a pretty funny film. It's like a comedy, but it has a pretty good heart to it as well.
Yeah, that's a film that has been recommended to me in the past, and I haven't gotten around to watching it, but maybe I will now.
Yeah.
That's like a theme today is I haven't gotten around to it, but it's on Canopy.
Well, that's been a major draw of mine. I've been remiss in watching classic movies, Sunset Boulevard and a bunch of Ace in the Hole. I think those were two Billy Wilder films I just mentioned, but those as well are in Canopy. To Catch a Thief, HUD, The Trial, Battleship Potemkin. Like, these are all movies that, you know, if you care about film, if you like to see where it's come from or what was important then, I really enjoy. And Breakfast at Tiffany's is usually checked out, as you mentioned, at our library. So this holds a nice depth of titles, too. It's not just stuff released recently. I watched Ace in the Hole last night, and Kirk Douglas and his chin were in it. And it was very dated. It was made in 1951, and it's about making news and a reporter creating his own news story and being in charge of what gets out and what he can report and whatnot. And so it was relevant for today, but there's a lot of typewriters, there's a lot of copy, there's a lot of driving 3 hours to get the photos delivered. And it's also just a study of how people can be evil towards each other, and your needs would trump someone else's, you know, even a chance to live. That spoke through the ages. I watched it. I cast it onto my TV with the Chromecast. So it's I would recommend it for just the classic films, also the depth of horror films that I'm interested in. You're talking about, like, touchstones of I used to walk through Blockbuster. I don't know if that dates me, but I used to walk through Blockbuster, Hollywood Video, and walk out with an armload full of horror and world language films. And this has got a great selection of both as well.
Yeah.
It has, I think, 300 films from the Criterion Collection, or Janus Films. And so, like, if you've ever read, like, a film study book and you hear these names of, like, François Truffaut or Godard or, you know, all of these French New Wave or old silent filmmakers, you might not find that if you're just kind of browsing what's recommended to you on another streaming service. There's also a lot of interviews with filmmakers, like experimental filmmakers. So yeah, if you're interested in films that are seminal in film history, but might not be in wide circulation, this is a very good resource for that as well.
Or even before, you know, it's more convenient just to tap with your finger rather than go to somewhere and check out a DVD or a Blu-ray.
Yeah, so if you're traveling or something and you just need something to watch, if you have internet access.
Right.
I guess also in contrast to other streaming services, on those you might find newer Hollywood blockbusters. You probably will not find those on Canopy, but you will find a lot of really interesting documentaries and films with historical value. So, you know, not empty calorie viewing.
Right, and some fair amount of independent
films.
And the very new as well, my eyes caught a 8-bit graphic of a documentary called GTFO about women in gaming, talking about Gamergate. This is something that started just a couple years ago.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, they've already produced a documentary on it, and it's available on Canopy. So, you know, just it's not all classic movies. It's classic movies and brand new documentaries and
award winning. Oftentimes, there's a lot of Sundance and Toronto Film Festival, I believe, either nominated or award winning.
Right, it's a Silver Lion from Venice. You know, so it's
alongside Saturday Night Fever. Why not?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Another on the classic category, Rashomon is another one of those that's like film studies often highlight.
Yeah.
And that's on Canopy for sure.
So. Yeah. Seventh Samurai and
400 Blows and
La Jetée.
Ugetsu, Gung Ho with Michael Keaton. Mm. That's surprisingly a rare DVD to acquire from a purchasing standpoint.
Sure.
And I just see now that I did not know Ron Howard directed that film.
Oh.
So, but Ron Howard directing Michael Keaton. So that's always been a favorite of mine.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think one of the other maybe overlooked things that you'll end up finding in here is very topical films that maybe question or shine a light on identity issues or like a topic like gentrification. There's a film called My Brooklyn that looked really interesting. I was surprised. I was floored, actually, when I found this. You go in and you can actually download a study guide right there in Canopy that gives you kind of a, to add to your viewing experience, it shows you times where like the events in this documentary like were mentioned in the press, gives you the actual citations for those. So it's like for a student, this could be a great source for primary sources if you're looking at some of those topics.
We'll have to tell the fourth floor to start recommending.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got to let the reference staff know.
I just saw the Zero Theorem is on it. And if you like wacky and weird, indecipherable Terry Gilliam, which I do, Zero Theorem is available on it, and that is a movie that Terry Gilliam has kind of been under the radar with his last few.
I hear he finally finished the Don Quixote film.
He finally finished the Don Quixote film, and there's some sort of rights dispute immediately after completion. So,
yeah, I'm a big fan.
Who knows if it'll get released now.
But Zero Theorem did fly under my radar, and now it is on my watch list.
Yeah, Zero Theorem is Christoph Waltz being very strange. Great weird set design, as you expect from him. It's strange. He's like, the computers are very strange, but he's like set up in a cathedral. So it's like this contrast of new and neon light surrounded by incredibly old architecture. Mm-hmm. And so like every scene is like a confusing fascination. Like, what is this place? Who are these people? How do they work? What is, how is this even possible? And I saw it in theaters years ago, and I haven't seen it since. And so now I'm happy to recommend Zero Theorem.
Nice.
Any other recommendations?
If you haven't seen Memento yet, that's a really great movie.
Memento's on there, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Very clever filmmaking. Mm-hmm. Plays with the timeline in an interesting way.
One that has been recommended to me, Harold and Maude, by many, 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 many people.
Including me.
Including you. That's also on Canopy. It's been added to my watch list.
Excellent. I saw it at a young age, and it became one of my favorite films. I'm not sure how it has dated, because it's the sort of film that might seem to take a very serious topic a little too glibly, because it is a very funny movie. But I think that the message of the film is strong enough and life-affirming enough that it pulls it off. But your mileage may vary. Mm-hmm. But I think it is definitely a film that could not have been made any time other than the early 70s. It's a period piece in that respect. But, I mean, the soundtrack by Cat Stevens sort of automatically dates it. Yeah. It's a really beautifully shot. The cinematography in that film is really wonderful. I would recommend it.
All right, a serious one and a not serious one. The not serious one, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Ah.
Comedy. Oh. It's a classic. It's a milestone, again, probably of my youth. Probably influenced me more than I know. Neruda is a film about the... This is an amazing... You've seen that, Joel? You were nodding. I don't know.
I've seen the preview for it. Yeah. It looked amazing.
Yeah,
it's
the
in my
film is absolutely... It's incredible. It just snuck up for me out of nowhere last year when I saw it. And Pablo Neruda, the poet, it has a lot of like political intrigue, but it's also this poet's journey. And a Latin American poet, like, it seems like that's like one of my favorite stories, whether it's in film or anywhere. I just love reading about revolutionary poets. It's one of my like...
One of your draws.
One of my draws.
Like an automatic watch.
Yeah, and this is just incredibly well done. And it's a very fairly recent film, so, you know, definitely recommend it.
I was just in Chile, and I went to one of Neruda's houses, and I didn't know that there was a documentary about him. Added to watch list.
Well, dramatization, I think.
Oh, okay.
This is definitely a
like
drama
a biopic?
Film. Biopic, okay. Yeah, thank you, sorry.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Just scrolling past, I saw that The Tune is available, which is a 1992 cartoon by Bill Plimpton. I haven't seen this in decades, but I very much enjoyed watching it. He's sort of like a colored pencil frame-by-frame animator, and it's sort of the story of a songwriter who is trying to find the perfect song. Like, that's where it starts, but there's a lot of kind of episodic, odd sort of slapstick cartoons that are interwoven into the plot. And it was definitely a delight to watch that. And now I'm kind of excited that watching it again, I can do just by tapping play.
I want to point out there's different genres and things like, you know, coming of age stories and healthy living. Mm. I'm currently scrolling through Directed by Women as a category, and I thought I'd just zip through real quick and see what they have, and it won't stop. I keep getting more and more movies in this category, so I must have seen over 100 so far, and it just keeps going. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in that, Canopy is a wonderful place to get movies directed by women, as alongside your musicals and your Before They Were Famous, as we were talking about.
Right.
There's some short films on here, things that aren't going to be released on DVD necessarily, mm-hmm. because they're, you know, only 5 minutes long or whatnot, and you would probably only get to see them at a film festival. It's available on Canopy.
And they also have, from an academic viewpoint, again, they have the great courses.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness,
DVDs.
Right.
So
almost forgot.
You can view those as well. And I'm a big fan of the audio versions of those. I'll take a college course, listen to it as an audio book, but you can watch a college course at the same time. So it's if you have an interest,
you've
got a variety.
Yeah, I think I started watching a Cooking Outdoors one, and that was just, like, fantastic. The small amount that I watched, because they're episodic, you can watch just a little bit, or you can watch the whole thing. The part I watched was very good, so.
You're right, yeah, I see the outdoor cooking grader courses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, grader courses, everything from exploring Egypt to Algebra 1, I was seeing on there. So if you need math help or...
genealogy.
Sure.
Be people interested in that. Ancient Mesoamerica.
Canopy is kind of an autodidact dream.
Yeah.
Trying to remember where this film... Okay, so in an Iranian ghost town, a girl walks home alone at night. That's one that you've probably heard recommended. I do recommend that one. That one's a surprise, kind of like a quiet hit. It's good and dark and funny. It's another vampire film, foreign vampire film.
Mm-hmm.
That,
it's funny you mentioned that, because I was looking at Let the Right One In.
Yeah, that's a really good
from
one.
From 08, and that's, that movie changed the way I watch movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's very subtle. It really made you pay attention,
yeah.
Close attention to what was going on. And after, if you had a question, you could go back and, you know, it taught you how to pay attention to a movie, I guess.
Yeah.
And to have your brain working during a film, for me at least. I enjoyed that one a lot.
Nice.
So the Swedish release, not the
Yeah, I think there was an American remake that was not as good.
You could say that for almost any world language film. And then the English version is a...
Speaking of which, Canopy also has the original Korean Old Boy.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes.
I haven't seen that
That's
one. I've only seen
film.
The American remake.
Yes, I highly recommend that one as well. Right,
yeah.
And there's a Thai film named Shudder. The English version had Joshua Jackson in it, but the original, I haven't seen that one, but the Thai version was mind-blowing.
Mm.
It's a horror film, and it really, it affected me for weeks after watching that film. So highly recommend that one, not just because it was scary, but because it made you think about how they were being haunted rather than just the haunting. It was, and why, so.
What's that one titled?
Shudder.
Shutter, just
as in a camera shutter,
okay,
which plays a prominent part in the,
okay.
the film. So,
great.
Really, there's something in here for anybody.
Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
If you can't find anything to watch, it's you got to look at yourself in the mirror.
Right. If you start scrolling and kind of tune out because you can't find something that came out just last year, like just keep looking, because the more I look, the more interesting things suddenly pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer this watch list becomes.
Yeah, how many times do we look at a film or a movie poster and think, or a book even, or anything, and just say, I want to experience that?
Right.
It's almost like it's in the temporary cache of our minds of, like, 9 years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then suddenly it pops right back up in front of your eyes, and, like, that's it. You know, I want to watch this.
Right. I think you mentioned earlier when talking about the Ken Burns Vietnam documentary, and not to denigrate our fantastic DVD collection, but it does have slightly more of a...
like investment?
Yeah, like a time investment. Mm-hmm. Like if you walk out of the library with an armful of DVDs, then you now have got homework.
Yeah, I've only got a week and I've got to make it through. Yeah,
it allows flexibility
in
your schedule.
And in that way, freedom. You can set up your watch list now, and you can watch whatever you want from it when you feel like it. And if you know you're not feeling something, just let it sit there. You'll get to it.
One out of every 3 nights a month.
There you go.
This is probably also just if you haven't experienced any someone else's Netflix or your own Netflix or, you know, this is a great way to like experiment with just streaming in general because it's very low risk. You could try this. You could try Hoopla and it's going to be free with your card. So if you need help, just talk to us here at the library. Like anyone should be able to help you out. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's free to all DPPL patrons. Mm-hmm.
So. And then, yeah, and the other note on that is just like if you don't have a Desplaines card, but you use our library, you listen to our podcast, like check with your home library. They might have Canopy, they might have Hoopla. So you just need to access it through that library card.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like we could recommend titles like all day. Yeah. We could just keep this thing rolling, but we should probably come to a close. So that's Canopy, K-A-N-O-P-Y. It's a new library streaming service. It's free. You get 10 views a month. You can watch it on a great many devices, or you can stream it to your television with a Chromecast if you like, you know, that movie watching experience. And so that's the Pint to Click podcast. We'll see you next time.